Genesis 2, verse 16. And while you're going there, let's pray for a moment too. You can do two things at once, right? You can look at your Bibles and you can agree in your heart as I pray. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to manifest yourself and to deal with any areas in our hearts that are still stony. We want hearts of flesh and we want you to just have your way today. So we allow you. We take our conviction shields and we put them down. And we just allow you to have free access. Lord, we want you to train us and teach us and show us how to just be more and more open for you, because that's our cry, Lord. We want more and more and more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Genesis 2, 16, 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Now don't turn off because you've heard this before and you know the story. Please stay awake. But if the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Do you think maybe God knew something that Adam and Eve didn't know? This is a yes response, okay? I have a feeling that God knew something. He knew that there was food, spiritual food, God bless you, spiritual food in that tree of life. Everything Adam and Eve would ever have need of would be in that tree of life. And do you know we have the same opportunity today to partake of that tree? The tree of life is Jesus. It's God Himself. It's everything that God has. It's available for us. And we find it in His presence. We find it in His Word. Yeah? We find all that truth and all that life in worship, because we're preparing a place for Him and we believe that He comes. We find Him. We find that tree of life in our praise. We find it when we pray. So one would ask, why don't we do more of that stuff? But I'm not asking. Maybe the Holy Spirit might ask us. But do you realize also that everything about God was in that tree of life? And everything was good. And He's a good God, and He's a glad Father, and He's not wanting to withhold anything from us until the right time, and unless it's not good for us. But Adam and Eve chose something different. Now, if you stop and think about it, that tree represented God with us, right? The tree of life, God with us. And when Jesus came, He came as Emmanuel, God with us. So we have that same choice every moment of every day. Are we going to choose from the tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good and evil? But Adam and Eve decided that, well, maybe there was something that they should have. Maybe the fulfillment of everything they needed was not really in that tree. How many of you, to be really honest, have ever felt that way? Probably many times, many days, right? Because we're human and we have that choice before us every single day, and even more so every single moment of every day. We have that choice of, can we trust God? Because why wouldn't we read His Word every day? Why do we just say, oh, I can go a day without reading? If this is so valuable to us, we should be so hungry and thirsty after it. And we are, for the most times. But there are some times where we just go, oh, I can do without it. We're choosing the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because we're thinking, can we really trust God? Or maybe we're not valuing Him. Well, look at Genesis 3 for a minute, because we're going to jump over to that, because I want to get to some place and I want to go quickly, because I want to allow God some time to transform us. Not conform us, which is what I could do. I could conform you to the Word, but I want transformation to happen. I want His power, because as I speak the Word and as you take the Word in and you ingest it, That word is powerful. It's not me that's powerful. It's him that's powerful. And as we go over these scriptures, we want to give him time to transform us, because there's a difference. And that's why there's so much value in reading his word, in praying, in praising, in worship, in speaking in tongues. Because we're valuing him and we're saying, God, we trust that you can change us, that you can transform us. So look at chapter 3. Verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle, crafty or deceptive than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So immediately he pokes some discontent into our lives. And he wants us to focus on what God has not said or what God is not doing. See how that pertains to our life even right now. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has not said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it. That's not really there. But what do you think is the last thing that the enemy would want? The last thing the enemy would want would be for Adam and Eve, or you and I, to partake of the tree of life. That's the last thing. So why doesn't he often? He does. The enemy often comes to us and gives us discontent. He gives us all sorts of things where we really can't trust God. And God is forever trying to say to us, I am good. I am for you. I am a glad Father. I love you. I delight in you. But we make those choices to go a different way, to choose our own way. And then when we do that, when we choose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we become very limited, because that's all we can do. It's with our brains and our limitations and our boundaries and our borders, and this is my big world. And we start seeing everything through that because we're afraid to trust God. And I want to challenge you today to go through your week just saying to God, I trust you. I trust you. You're a good God. I can trust you. But I want to show you today something that we don't often talk about. But let's go on with verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. See, he was appealing to our base worldly nature, which is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what he was saying to Adam and Eve. He was saying, well, this is what you really want in your natural. And he's trying to convince us that there's a satisfaction. But that satisfaction is temporary and it's fleeting. It never lasts. And 1 John 2:15-16, I'm going really quickly because I want you to just be going somewhere with me. The Lord says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. See, there's a continuous, constant bombardment to us to think only what's in our mind, okay? And not to trust the Lord. So verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, which is using man's wisdom or woman's wisdom, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the big question is, can we trust God? It's the same question they had, Adam and Eve had, and it's the same question we have every day of our lives. Can we trust God? But we usually, very often, we choose the natural life. And he's wanting to pour out more grace and more glory, just like what we're singing about this morning. We want more of God. And he's saying, oh, I want to pour so much more into you, but make room for me. And there's one thing that we're going to see today that we don't often talk about, but it inhibits us. It really covers us, and we don't even realize very often. But look at the results or the consequences of their choosing. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. See what they discovered? Shame. That is a big deal, the word shame. And a lot of times we don't go there. We really don't go there. But that is the result. Those are the consequences. They felt naked. They felt uncovered. They felt like they had to do something themselves. They had to perform. They had to make those fig leaves. And then from there on, they never felt satisfied. They always felt like they were lacking. They were always trying to attain to that carrot in the sky that they could never go after. That's probably why we like carrots so much. But anyway, performance is really living up to the expectations that I have in my head instead of realizing God's grace. Emmanuel, God with us, He delights in us. His grace is ever flowing for us. But we instead, we don't know that unconditional love from God. And we live in a realm of conditional love, and we're always looking out for number one because we're afraid that God can't be trusted. We're afraid to let go and let God have our lives. We've always got to be protecting ourselves. We don't even realize we're doing it. We always have to feel like we're in control and we're limited. We don't even know that we're doing this half the time. And others have to meet my needs. Rather than trusting that God's big enough, God can meet our needs. See, we have this expectation that things are going to come in a certain way. I have this expectation that when we prayed and asked God for the nations, He's going to send us to the nations, or we would have national people come in. Little did I know that my son was going to marry a Hindu. But He's giving us the nations to love. And as long as I look at it that way, that His unconditional love is for me and His grace is for me, then that's my role, is to give them grace, impart unconditional love to them, because they don't understand it. They don't know it. They're living under performance. See, what happens in verse 8, back to Genesis again, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam said, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. See, once we enter in to that realm of our way rather than God's way, we begin to walk under the shame. No, just trust me on this, because I'm going to show you some things. We walk under shame, and then that shame causes us to walk in fear. We hide ourselves. Because we don't want God to see our nakedness. We don't want Him to see our imperfections. What's with that? When we asked Him into our lives, it was because we had all these imperfections, and we said, God, change me. You can have me. Go ahead, God. And He starts sanctifying us. I mean, He clothed us with His blood. Our spirits were immediately joined to Christ. But He's sanctifying us day by day by day by day. And He wants a cooperation with us. It's called sanctification. He wants to change us. But when we fall into this performance thing, I'll show you that in a few moments. But fear enters in, and we start running from God when we make mistakes. We start running from God when we goof. And we think we've done the unpardonable sin. We run instead of running into His arms, where we can have His grace covering us. And that's what He wants to do. And the Lord God called unto Adam, this is verse 9, and said unto him, where are you? And verse 10, he said, I heard the voice in the garden. I was afraid, fear, because I was naked, shame, and I hid myself. I turned from God. How many times have you found the word turn to me in the Bible? It's always there. God's always saying, turn to me, turn to me, turn to me. And verse 11, he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten the tree whereof I commanded you that you shouldn't eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave me to be with, she gave me the tree and I did eat. And the Lord God said to the woman, what's this that you have done? So what happens is blame shifting, lots of blame, fault finding, performance expectations. We attain a fear of man rather than fear of God. It's original sin. we start getting concerned about what are others thinking. Not what God's thinking, but what are others thinking. Why are we so needy for the reputation of man? It's because we're not going to God and hearing what he's saying over us. We allow insecurities in our life, and the real big deal, it's a great identity theft. You think there's identity theft in the world today? Guess what? Your identity was stolen way back in the garden. Whose you were. Now, we attained it back when we asked him into our heart. We became born again. His blood covers us. But then, for some reason, we turn the other way. We think, okay, I'll show you what a good life I can live. What's with that? We are called to cooperate with God, but we're not called to do it for God. We're called to let go, just like back in the garden. That's why he keeps telling me, I think, to keep going back to the garden. There's so much truth there. And get his words of life speaking over us. So I want to read something to you, some of the things that the Lord was showing me, and I want to pray right now. And if you agree with me in prayer, at the end of what I say, I want you just to say amen, okay? If you don't agree, then don't say amen, okay? Father, right now, we just ask that your searchlight would come forth into our hearts. You'd open our eyes, that we would see areas that we walk in shame, that we walk in fear, that we walk in mistrust. And Lord, that we would be then willing to turn to you, continue turning to you, not running and hiding, but continuing to turn to you and not only find repentance and the gift of repentance from you, but Lord, we would also find your comfort and your washing over us, washing so that the old things are passed away and all things would become new. In Jesus' name, amen. These are some of the things the Lord's been saying to me. So if you find anything, you may want to write it down and ask the Lord to show you during the week as you go through things. I found one of the biggest ways that I allowed shame in my life was when I got frustrated and I couldn't do anything right. Did you ever find yourself saying, oh, I just can't do anything right? I feel stupid. I feel like a loser. I feel like I'm not meeting that person's expectations. So when we go there, when our thoughts even begin, we may not speak it with our mouth, but when our thoughts go there, that's shame-based. Did you ever say inside your head, I just can't meet that need? I'm always doing it wrong. Such a failure. I feel dirty. I feel condemned. I have no value or worth. I'm oppressed. All my past, it just haunts me and I can't be forgiven of it. I just must have been the unpardonable sin. I just can't be good enough. How about when you have tempest-like dreams? We often think that that's witchcraft coming in, and very often it is. But when we're not at rest, when our minds are going and they're kind of tempest-like, there is a scripture, I didn't write it down because I didn't want to get involved in that, and at some other later time I'll hope to bring more of this forth, but just let that sit inside your head and let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you. If nothing comes, fine. How about when you're confused? Did you ever feel really confused or confounded or just like you're bringing a storm center with you wherever you go? Or did you know people? Do you know people that bring confusion? You just don't feel good enough. You'd always have to prove something. Okay, how about nobody cares for me, so I have to do it myself. Nobody's taking care of me. How about when you feel like you never have enough? How about when Now, this may not be you, but this may be people that you know, argumentative. And did you ever stop and think why they're being argumentative? Because they're living in such shame. They don't want to go there and deal with that hurt, deal with that wound, deal with whatever happened to them in the past. So they get very argumentative and they get on a different point and they live or die by that point, and they're always arguing with you because they have to keep you looking over here so you don't have to look there within your heart. It's kind of, it's a denial kind of thing, but it's comes from shame. How about, have you ever known people that always have to prove others were wrong? You're very hard on yourself. Maybe you're very hard on others. Nobody can meet your standards. How about vengeful? Others have to pay. We have to find the blame here. We have to go to the bottom of it, and we have to figure out whose fault this was. Did you ever say that to your kids? We gave up after a while because it was always the, he did it. But that's because of shame. My kids were afraid to admit that they were the ones that did something because we mistakenly failed in that situation where we would come down on them really hard. Now, you got to find the balance for instruction, but at the same time, I am so thankful that those of you who have young children now, the love and logic is so helpful. That whole idea of love and logic is like really, really good. It gives them dignity to fall, to make mistakes, and you don't come on them like, that was stupid, you know? Now, we never said that kind of stuff to our kids, but yet at the same time, we had an expectation. You live up to this. Come on, this is what we expect of you. And because of that, it wasn't really coming from within their own conscience. It was more outward, and it was performance. We were putting performance on them. How about when you're living in judgment rather than mercy? There's always that judgment. There's always that, you know, and you feel like God's in the sky, just like being that holy policeman, and watch it, you're going to get smashed. This is all based on shame. Did you ever find yourselves saying that? The big deal with me was realizing the frustration. That was the one that over the past couple years, just realizing, I can't do that. Why can't I do this kind of thing? It was a frustration. And it was because I'm learning now how to stop where I am, stop those thoughts and say, God, would you help me? It's that simple. And I'm finding that he's showing me, he's reminding me, he's alerting me when I begin to walk in any of those things. But that one, that was mine recently, the others. And the reason I have such a long list is because I've walked in all this stuff. But if we can go through our week, go through our day, where we stop and we go, whoops, that's a shame thing. I'm not going to receive it. God, would you help me? See, it's learning that the tree of life is available to us at every moment of every day. And he wants to be our helper. He wants to be the one that we know we can trust. And so when we're looking at any of these other things, it's like, wow, God, I don't have to be perfect. I just have to take this step, what you're telling me to do right now. That's cool. You're pleased with me. You're delighted in me. Performance, go. See, performance comes from shame. And I want to say to you today, shame off you. How many of you have ever heard shame on you? That's not God. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life says, shame off you. I am Emmanuel. I am God with you. I delight in you. I love you. I want to be with you even in those frustrating times. Even in those times where you're not feeling perfect. So it's realizing our identity is in him And it's not a one-time thing. As we were talking, he's moving. God is always in motion because he's fluid. God is just, he's not stagnant. He's not right, you know? Is any of this making sense to anybody except me? Okay. So for every moment of every day, I mean, we need to value him and value his presence and value his word and value the fact that he's connected with us. See, that those thoughts, wherever they came from, they could have come from the original sin. They could have come from some generational curse passed over and over and over and over. They could have come through how we were raised. They could have come from people's words. You know, just recently I had a situation where somebody spoke the kindest words. But because there was something in their past that hadn't been taken to the cross, and they were still under that shame and not realizing it, no matter how much those kind words were sweet, the attitude, everything was wonderful, I just got thrown dirt at me. I got an oppression that came on me. It was like, wow, where'd that come from? And I asked the Lord, and he said, unresolved things that we don't even remember happened to us, and we haven't really taken them to the Lord, released them, and then found the comfort from. So see, you can get splashed on wherever you're at. Every day of your life, you probably get splashed on from people that have unresolved issues. And you could just get this blame stuff thrown at you, whether you did something right or wrong, whether you deserved it or not. So his grace is there flowing freely from his throne. So it doesn't really matter where they came from. Just get the thing dealt with. And that thing, it's not a one-time thing. It's a continuous thing that tries to come at us because the devil is still around. And he's still trying to make us feel stupid and like losers and have no identity in Christ. But God is saying, hey, my love, my unconditional acceptance, my grace, my mercy, everything is just continuously flowing from my throne. And that's what I want you to bask in. So the big questions that we have to face us today are the same questions Adam and Eve had. Can God be trusted? Is he really good? And will he always be here with me? See, in my frustration, I would try to do things on my own. Why can't I do this? And God wanted me just to acknowledge that I needed him. It's that simple. So when things come up in your life, remember that he's Emmanuel, God with us. That's Matthew 1:27. It's all throughout the Old Testament. He always has wanted to be with us. Deuteronomy 31:6. This is just one example. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified. Don't let fear get at you. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The book of Joshua, the entire first chapter. I mean, the whole Bible is just filled with God saying, fear not. Fear not. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to live under shame. Because God is continuously wiping the slate clean. I have one of my kids, actually my other daughter, who will call me and she'll go, Mom, I just feel like such a failure. I did this and I botched this up. And I'll go, Jess, did you repent? Did you turn to God? That's a big deal. It's turning to God. She goes, yeah. I said, all right, so what? So what about what? I have this wonderful memory. I'm really valuing it now. It's kind of like the Lord's, too, is when you tell me something, I forget. But you know what? When we go to him and we confess something and we tell him, it's gone. His blood washes us. He throws it as far as the east is from the west. That's pretty far because his arm just is bigger than that. I mean, it's gone. It's wiped clean. The slate is absolutely wiped clean. We don't have to live under that. So my challenge to you today is, have you ever? Is there anything you just need to to give over to the Lord, to turn to Him on. Let Him have it. And then the bigger challenge, because it's easy to release our past, but how about our present? How about our future? When you go through the week, are you willing to say, God, I'm feeling frustrated? Or when those little thoughts come to you, why can't I do this? Or, oh, I'll never do this right. Or whatever they are to you, are you willing to stop and go, wait a minute? He says He'll never leave me nor forsake me. That's something you could take to the bank on, and the bank is not going to fold. He's faithful. He's good. And he's always here with us. But we're often thinking, He's back there. No, he's right here. He's right here with us. And He moves with us. And whatever we're going through, whatever challenge we have facing us, He wants us to just stop and acknowledge Him. And say, God, would you just, you're right here. I know you're here because you say, you're right here. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I want to turn to you. So I want to leave you with that challenge today. If you want that in your life, if you want to deal with anything from your past, but also today, I would like to just open up the front. I know with me it has to be a continuous, God, keep reminding me, keep helping me, because I don't want to hear something and then it goes into the past, but I want it to be continuously reminding me. When those thoughts come at me, shame, I don't want that. I don't have to live under that. I want to give them to the Lord. So he says that, you know, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He just wants us to live in that. Live in His unconditional love.